Elsewhere, a male vampire picked up an 8-foot-long sofa and slammed its end down onto a pair of ghouls, ripping at the body of a fallen thrall. Still elsewhere, Lord Scavis had rallied a number of his retainers to him, standing off against the maddened ghouls like a rock ignoring a flash flood, for the moment at least. Other sights weren't nearly so pleasant. A vampire trying to flee tripped over a human thrall, a girl no more than 18, and dealt her a blow of his fist in pure frustration, snapping her neck. He was brought down by ghouls a breath later. Elsewhere, other vampires seemed to have lost control of their demonic hunger completely, and they had thrown down whatever thralls they could seize, with no regard for gender or for what their particular favorite food might be. One thrall, writhing under Escavus, was screaming and pushing her thumbs into her own eyes. Another shuddered under the fear compulsion of a Malvora, clearly in the midst of a seizure or heart attack, right up until a tide of ghouls overran predator and prey alike. The Wraith didn't seem to be as wholly frenzied as the other houses, or maybe they just eaten more today. I saw only a couple of thralls downed by them, being torn out of their clothes and ravaged on the stone. Like those near Lord Scavis, a core of organization had formed around Lara and her father. Someone, I saw a flash of Justine's terrified face, was holding a little air horn up and triggering it wildly. I spotted Vito Malvora charging the ghouls around his fallen aunt and watched as he threw himself on the remains with an inhuman howl and began feasting beside the creatures who had killed her. It had taken seconds for intrigue to devolve into insanity in 1,000 simultaneous nightmare-inducing vignettes, none of which I could afford to think significant, save one. The dozen ghouls plunging directly toward me like a football team on the kickoff, huge and fast and ferocious, charging me on a straight line from the enemy gate. For a second, I thought I saw a dark shape in that gate, the suggestion of an outlined hood and cloak. It might have been Cowl. I'd have hit him with all the fire I could call if I'd had a second to spare, but I didn't. I brought my shield up as the ghouls came over the floor and held it fast as the leader of the pack slammed into it in a flare of blue and silver light and a cloud of sparks. The ghoul only howled and began slamming at the barrier with his fists. Every single one hit with the energy of a low-speed car crash, and even with my nifty new bracelet, I could feel the surge of power I needed to keep the shield steady when each of the blows came thundering down. Boots thudded behind me. Someone was shouting. Bam! 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 The ghoul slammed against my shield, and it was an almost painful effort to hold it.
Justine!
Thomas screamed. I wouldn't be able to hold this ghoul off for long, which was all right, because the other 11 were going to go right around my shield while he forced me to hold it steady against him and tear me into tiny pieces and eat me, hopefully in that order. Bootsteps thudded behind me and a voice barked. A second ghoul, several steps in front of the rest, flung itself around my shield but was intercepted by Ramirez. It leaped at him and hit that gelatinous-looking green cloud of a shield he used. What happened to the ghoul as its speed carried its whole mass all the way through the shield does not bear thinking on. But Ramirez was going to need new clothes. Bam! 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 Murphy screamed.
Harry! Thomas! Ramirez! Down!
I dropped and dragged Carlos down with me, lowering my shield as I went. Thomas hit the ground a fraction of a second after I did. And the world came apart in thunder. Sound hammered at my head and ears, and I found myself screaming in pain and shock before I ground my teeth and shot a quick glance behind me, trying not to lift my head any higher than I had to. Murphy knelt on the ground by my feet in her dark fatigues, body armor, black baseball cap, and amber safety glasses. She had a weird little rectangular gun about the size of a big box of chocolates held to one shoulder. It had a tiny little barrel, one of those little red dot optical sights, and Murphy's cheek was laid on it, one eye aligned with the sight as she poured automatic fire into the oncoming ghouls in neat, chattering bursts that ripped the ghoul that had been pounding on my shield into a spray of broken bits. It went over backward, thrashing one arm and howling in agony. Beside Murphy, playing Clifford the Big Red Dog to her Emily Elizabeth, was Hendricks. The huge, red-headed enforcer was also kneeling and firing, but the gun he held to his shoulder was approximately the size of an intercontinental ballistic missile and spat out a stream of tracer rounds that ripped into the attacking creatures with a vengeance.